Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
This is Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach, a.k.a. The Eagle. Caca! I'm here with...
Emily Hollerbach, a.k.a. Tiger Bomb. Row.
We're on the steps of the capital of Austin, Texas, and we were in there looking around at the gaudy architecture, a lot of stuffy representatives walking around not talking to us, but we came out here and we met Susie, who seems to have more politics that we're into. Susie, what are you standing out here
for? Part of Women in Black, and that's an international organization that was founded in Jerusalem in the 80s, and it started with Palestinian and Israeli women standing together, mourning what was happening in their country. And
you're standing, you guys, your sign says Women in Black Standing for Peace.
There are a lot of groups all over the world, and we don't have a real organization, but they're just sort of ad hoc groups that get together and stand for peace. And we've been here since shortly after 9/11. Every Wednesday from 12 to 1. Come join us.
You're just protesting the war, any wars in general?
Violence as a solution to problems. That's the main thing. War is sort of the ultimate. But, you know, it happens in playgrounds. It happens in boardrooms. It happens in kitchens. Violence is just not the way to solve problems.
Actually, we were just in the Capitol building, and there's a lot of pictures of old men holding scrolls, and then two giant murals, one of the Alamo, just a scene of gore and violence, and then another war.
Battle of San Jacinto?
Probably,
I don't remember, but that's another notable battle in Texas history.
Where are the murals for peace? They're all of war.
Some people say, well, there's just not enough money in peace, you know? There's a whole lot more money in building armaments and selling them to other countries, and then what are you going to do with them? You're going to use them, you know? So talk to some of the other people. They all have different ideas about this group.
So you're saying that just put on a black shirt, stand somewhere, hold up a peace sign.
You can do that. Get your friends to do it. I know there's a group in Boulder, Colorado, because my niece is part of it. But there are groups all around. We talked to a lady this morning from London, and she said there's a group there.
Wow.
So, you know, they're all over. WIB.org, you can look it up.
www.wib.org.
Right. Womeninblack.org.
That's awesome.
Okay.
I could take some pro wings. Thank you to the Women Who Wear Black for Peace. What a great, great group of gals, right? They were very nice. Maybe they're kind of a very simple kind of plan, right? It's just peace, right?
They didn't really seem to have any action plan other than just peace.
They liked hanging around and wearing black. I love what they're doing. Another big thing was, let's get lunch. Where do you want to get lunch? Kind of overheard that conversation. Nice. You will not find a nicer group of girls. So today, this is episode 12, Austin. We've already been talking about that. Now, Austin...
Austin was okay.
It was a pretty good town. We got turned down 4 times for interviews. We're trying to get you more interviews after the Roswell, New Mexico episode. I'm like, oh yeah, interviews are great. We got the women, but we got turned down by a representative from Texas. We went in the Congress building, which was... Or the Congress building? What is it? The City Hall of... But it's the Capitol building for Texas. We went in. Incredibly beautiful building. But we got turned down by a representative. We got turned down by a homeless person. We got turned down by the O. Henry Museum. And also Art on Five. We wanted to talk to somebody about... They had this gallery of, Dr. Seuss art. Really cool. Don't go there. You know why? They didn't give us an interview. They also said, oh, if you want to give us a plug, blah, blah, blah. But no interview. Unbelievable. What do you think of Austin?
It was okay. I mean, Texas in general, really sucks really hard.
But you like Pecos, Texas, right?
I hate Pecos, Texas. Pecos, Texas is the biggest shithole in Texas, which is it's really hard to beat all of the shitholes. But you, congratulations, Pecos, Texas. You are the biggest shithole in America.
Yeah, I remember also, I didn't tell you this, I went to pay for our lunch there. We just stopped by for lunch in Pecos, Texas. I gave them a $20. They said, oh, Sorry, we can't break a 20. They can't break a 20 in a restaurant. Also, the restaurant we ate at, they were also selling blankets. They were selling toothpaste in the front. They were selling all kinds of shit, just like sunglasses and just...
That was our choice. That or the Sonic, which was just...
Yeah. And then as soon as we pulled out of the place we ate, we found it... So there's like probably one good Mexican restaurant in that place that seemed to be popping. Other than the Sonic, where you drive up to in your SUV with no cargo in the back. And you just order 900 burgers at Sonic. They bring it to your car. You never have to get off your fucking ass to go get your burger. Unbelievable. A lot of heavy set people in Pecos, Texas. All right. Well, this is the Austin episode, really. This is episode 12 Austin, but it's also the Hot Steam episode. This is my most favorite subject in the world, Hot Steam. Emily, what is Hot Steam?
Well, our little cousin, when he was littler, he used to scream, "Hot Steam!"
I think he
pulled
out
his pants and fart on things.
So he would also, like, dig a hole. We can't say who this cousin is, right? Lumped together. Hopefully we can get an interview with him. But he would dig a hole and then take his pants off and then fart in the hole and go, "Hot steam!"
Well, he wouldn't even dig holes. He would just find holes in the ground and put his wiener in it and go, "Wiener in a hole! Wiener in a hole!
Wiener in a hole! Hot steam! Hot steam! Wiener in a hole!" So this is our family. To be fair, about 5 years old. Showing some signs of, antisocial behavior. But then the other, my favorite one was, everyone was in the downstairs at my one aunt's house, and there's a big glass, door, right? Sliding door, you can get in and out. And he ran up there and just went, "Dick on the glass, dick on the glass," and, you know, put his dick in front of it. He made sure that there's an audience. And then he just, like, you know, rubs his dick all over the thing. "Dick on the glass, dick on the glass." Making a snail trail across it, you know. Yeah. What I mean? What?
I think we should talk about that.
That's what happens. he's all fired up. He's going, "Dick on a glass, dick on a glass." He's got an audience. I'm just guessing. So here's what I want you to do, America. Next time you fart, maybe dig a hole. Pump some hot steam.
You don't have to dig a hole. You can just hot steam anything at any time.
I set up a hot steam booby trap for you at the Sedona when we were hiking.
I successfully evaded it.
Hot steam! And also, just like do it to you. Like you'll just be sitting on the couch. All of a sudden, he's coming up to you. You're like, "Hey, what's going on, buddy?" And then he just sits on your shoulder. Hot steam! Just farts on your shoulder. God damn. That kid is a comic genius.
"Oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight." I'm like, "Yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt."
One interview we got turned down for was this homeless person who I wanted to have an interview for him because he was holding a sign that said, $1.65 exact change, please," or something like that. And I just thought it was like a clever, funny sign, like, "Oh, this bum is asking for $1.65. So I went over to him. We got a fiver out. I was trying to bribe him for an interview.
Like, what else is he doing? He's just sitting there. He's asking for money, but he doesn't want to give an interview.
Right.
That's annoying.
Yeah. We'll give
you... Like, at least do something. Do something for this money.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to. He just wants to sit there, and he just wants you to hand it to him.
And it probably... So he seemed to have a bit of a stutter, a bit of a something was up with this guy, right? Mentally, maybe. But I said, "Hey, can I do an interview with you?" Holding a $5 bill in my pocket. He goes, "Oh, I don't want to do it." And then we're like, "All right, bye." And just, you know, kept walking. So if you're a homeless person and, you know, with a change with the times, now there's podcasting, ask for a $5 fee. It's something else you can do for your next hit of smack, you know.
$50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant bitch.
In San Francisco, you would get, at your old place, you were on the first floor, you're moving now to New York, but you would get bummed in sometimes.
I got bummed in one time.
What does that mean?
It's when a homeless person just lays in your doorway and you can't get out of your apartment because in New Jersey, we would get snowed in. We would have snow days.
Blizzard 97 or whatever.
96. We had but we get bummed in San Francisco. We just have a bum day. Because there's no way I want to move a smelly bum.
Yeah. It's like breaking out the Xbox. Here we go. Yep. Ordering some Netflix.
Guess I'm staying inside today.
Or you have food delivered and you make the delivery guy deal with the situation. Hope.
I didn't think about that.
Just say, hey, bring a stick. Pry this bum off my front door. And give me some food because I don't want to go outside. Getting swindled and pimped. Yeah, we ate at Cracker Barrel. Good God, our Cracker Barrel's amazing.
Cracker Barrel has crack coffee. I was so wired after that coffee.
That coffee was, you got fired up, a lot of caffeine?
I did just have a nap too, but.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, so Cracker Barrel, big fan of. There's a huge store. And as soon as we walked in, I saw this old lady. She greeted us, and she was incredibly old. I mean, to say that she was 102, I wouldn't be surprised. And she was hunched over, very bad, like a tremendous
shrimp.
Hunchback.
Shrimp
she
back.
Was shrimp-backed.
We saw a glimpse of Eric's future.
So I'm worried. Yeah, the masseuse said I'm a little shrimp-backed. And after taking that lady... After looking at her, I'm taking this seriously.
You gotta drink more milk.
Yeah, I gotta not get osteoporosis. So, she gave us two forks and two menus and said, oh, and there's a Salisbury steak special. Oh, where are you from? And then she just, you go to tell her and she's already gone, you know. But then I saw, she had a tremendous basket behind her. And she gave us the last two fork and knife set. And then later, as soon as we sat down, I saw her with all of her strength, as much strength as we could muster, bring a huge tub full of forks and knives and, you know, wrapped in little napkins with a piece of tape. And in 3 months, she's not going to be strong enough to do this because she barely, I'm just watching her struggle. She just barely got there. And then she just want, like, maybe pick up two with a shaking hand and put them in the basket. Then another two. It was so brutal watching it. I'm just like, you need to just go have some tea.
I think it's good. I'd rather be that lady than dying in a nursing home. Just when old people stop moving, then they start dying. And that lady knows what's up. So she's Windexing. She's lifting heavy shit.
Yeah, as soon as we left, it's like she didn't stop working. She's,
constantly.
There's no people coming in to hand them fork and knife and a menu. I'm going to scrub the window. She's, you know, got a toothbrush on their hands and knees. She's looking at her own crotch because she's hunchbacked, you know. Just a dangling head. What? She's hunchbacked. What do you think it would look like if she was on her hands and knees? Her neck was all curved.
I wasn't thinking about her on her
well,
hands
she's,
and knees.
Look, she's still working, you know? She's still out there. You know, you think that's not over for her sexually.
Oh, my God. Menu hello won't.
Goodwill. Hey, we're driving from Austin and we're going to stop in Houston. We're not going to sleep there, but, we were talking about Crazy Fifi earlier, and Crazy Fifi actually moved to Houston recently, and we're going to Lake something in Louisiana is our next, where the hell are we going?
Yeah, Lake something, I forget.
Lake whatever. And then we're going to New Orleans. But,
New Orleans.
So on our way, we're going to see Crazy Fifi, have dinner with her. Now tell us about, remind our listeners, who is Crazy Fifi?
Crazy Fifi is this girl I used to work with, and she, probably, I'm guessing about half of Houston has herp by now, so we're walking into a herp
She test. Doesn't, her policy, okay, she has the herp, and her policy on the herp is, hey, if someone just starts doing something to me, I'm not going to tell them, I'm not going to stop them immediately and tell them, I'm just going to, only if you directly ask me the question,
yeah.
Do you have herpes? Here's my lawyer. Give me a photo ID. Then I'll tell you. But she likes to, like, let the... Oh, just stuff happens to me. Right?
She just says... Well, somebody asked her, well, why don't you tell these guys before you sleep with them? Because that's fucked up. They could actually sue you for that. You're supposed to tell them that before. She says, well, they don't ask.
What was that? Wasn't she at a strip club?
don't want to say that on the podcast.
All right. Well, let's just say things go down. She lets them happen. And she also just gets totally white girl drunk sometimes, right? And Emily, Tiger Bomb, do your handle.
Wow.
There we go. Emily is a white girl, and sometimes you get white girl drunk too, sometimes, right?
Sometimes I do get white girl drunk. this is what Eric wants me to tell you. I was telling him a story. It was my birthday week. My 29th birthday, my last birthday in my 20s.
Living it large, here we go.
I went big. It was the Friday after my birthday. My birthday was on a Wednesday, and I had work functions all week long because it was our yearly annual, you know, sales conference.
Then you got white girl drunk.
All right, so we were in Napa Valley all day for this off-site event, and I didn't really eat anything because they had no vegetarian options at lunch except for salad. So I was drinking wine all day, stealing bottles of wine from the winery, actually.
What? You didn't tell me that part.
Yeah.
When you get white girl drunk on your birthday, I'm just going to take this wine.
Well, by the third winery, like, I didn't want to go on the tour. So me and a couple people just hung out. And so everyone was on the tour, and they left these bottles of wine behind these little podiums that they were giving us tastings from.
What are you going to do?
So I just went and grabbed the bottle, just started pouring, popping bottles. And
it's my birthday.
Then on the way back, we stopped by 7-Eleven and we got a six-pack, and I finished it with me and my coworker. So we were... Then he invited me to a party once we got back to San Francisco. So we went and I think we had some French fries or something. And then we went to this party. And I'm still hammered. And
drinking six glasses. You were popping bottles. Yeah. Only eating salad.
Yeah. And then I had a few French fries. And then we went to this party.
All right.
So as soon as my coworker is Asian. And we went to this party. It was all Asians. I think I was the only white girl.
You,
and I'm already white girl drunk.
So you in Silicon Valley, you know, a lot of Asians.
So we were at this party, and this apartment was amazing. It was very, like, 1,000 square feet. It was huge.
Whoa.
And
fancy.
We walk in, and there's this beautiful, like, 6 foot tall carousel looking horse. I'm already wasted.
Like,
I'm like,
carousel.
Oh, horsey! And I just jump on it.
Wait, a carousel horse, like, for...
Like an antique looking...
Like, for fun, though?
No, it's just for display, like, as a piece of art.
Oh. And so you're a white girl drunk. You're just jumping on this Asian's
art piece. I don't know whose house it is. I just jump right on it. But I can't get on it, because it's really tall. So I see a smaller one behind it. And so I can get
really
on that
representing
one.
Our race.
So immediately I'm like, oh, I can get on that one. I just go climb on it.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, take my picture. I'm posing. I didn't even know about this till the next day.
Did people take your pictures?
Yeah, I have a picture.
Well, they are Asians, so let's be honest.
So I'm on this smaller one. I knocked down this huge painting behind me.
Oh my God.
It's probably like 3 feet wide and like 5 feet tall. It was huge. And knock it off the wall.
Jesus.
Then there's a live band. And so I go to the dance floor.
How rich is this?
I don't know whose house this was. It was really nice. And I'm just dancing. I fall down a couple times.
I'm white girl drunk. I'm stealing bottles. I'm breaking art. I'm interrupting the band performance.
I was texting my friend Sherry, and I was like, for some reason, my phone was stuck in all caps, and I couldn't get it off. And I was texting her, these Asians love white girls. And then, like, a couple of them saw that.
You were just, wait. Because you were just openly texting, everyone can see your screen.
Waving it around.
All
caps.
So they're just looking at the headline of a newspaper over your shoulder.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, what some of the Asian guys did? I'm in here.
What?
They're going, she's saying the Chinese guys love us or the Asian guys love us. Boom, we're in here, right? Never mind.
What?
So how did they react to you them seeing the text?
They were just
Asian
laughing.
People love white girls. I'm a drunk white girl drunk on my birthday.
Yeah.
I'm jumping on your shit.
They just laughed. It was funny.
Okay. That's awesome.
I forgot my phone at the end of the night. I was, like, blackout drunk. Then they found it for me. Forgot my backpack in his car when he dropped me off. I had to go get it the next day.
Oh, man.
That was bad.
Now, I have some experience because, you know, I had a girlfriend who will remain nameless, but she liked to really be taken care of on her birthday. She would like to get white girl drunk like Emily at the station's house. And just, I would have to take care of her, like, the whole time. Like, made her breakfast in bed, you know, then the sponge bath, you know what I'm saying?
Are you serious, a sponge bath?
Then I'm flicking her bean. Ew. I'm getting no action, right? Oh, this is your turn.
Stop making that motion.
That's
that's gross.
I'm reliving it. Then I'm, like, taking her around in a wheelchair, you know, because she doesn't want to use her legs. I'm, like, got an umbrella over her. I'm, like, chewing up her food. Yeah, take me here. She wants to live like Terry Schiavo, like, in hospice care. Like, that was her goal of being her birthday. Trying to get girls from a brand, and you hello. Speaking of flicking beans.
Ew, flicking stop
bean,
doing
flicking
that.
Bean,
gross.
Now, I have to make a confession here. Emily, you know, and I want to make a confession to the self-indulgent podcast. Shout out there to Sean Lewin. Now, I always bust Sean's balls because he is openly always talking about love and having his b-hole played with. He's always talking about it. He's like, always, you know, if any, like, topic of sex comes up, he's like, oh, and then you get your b-hole played with? Make sure she plays with the b-hole. Anyway, self-indulgent podcast. So I'm always shitting on him. There was one time, again, not to name names here, I, you know, said to my girlfriend at the time, hey, look, let's experiment here. You go, you gotta change it up, you guys. So we actually went to a CVS. We bought rubber gloves, and then we said, all right, put a finger in your ass, I'll put a finger.
God.
You know, just trading fingers.
Ew.
I had it once.
You put rubber gloves on?
Well, we're playing it safe. I think the thinking here is neither of us want a poo finger. A poo finger is not will ruin your day.
That sounds really romantic.
So, but through that experience, you know, you gotta try it.
That is like the creepiest thing that I've ever heard.
Through that,
rubber gloves with your girlfriend.
Uh huh.
You put the rubber gloves on.
Well, we lubed up a finger first.
Oh my god.
And then we just said, hey, you poke me, I'll poke you. Let's see if we like it. That's it.
Ew.
What's with that?
That's disgusting.
Basically, we
that
both
is
were
so
like,
creepy.
This is kind of more of a medical procedure. It's not really, we're both not into it. Let's never speak of this again. And then I bring it up on a podcast.
Well, it sounds really sexy. I'm surprised that you weren't into it.
I don't know how, look, I don't know how you do it. You just poke it in there and then hold it in there and wait. I don't know. What are you supposed to do? Just tease?
Tease it? This is gross.
I don't know how you do it, Sean Lewin. So, you know. But anyway, through that experience, I'm just not wired. I think there's a big myth out there that men have, well, not a myth, I'm sure some people are into it, but this thing of, oh, you just tickle a man's prostate, that'll trick him, that'll just, boom, he'll just come right away, right? That's how you do it, tickle a man's prostate, that feels good.
Can you stop saying that?
you don't like the
motion.
You don't like, the listeners can't see all the movements I'm making with my finger just poking. For me, I'm just not wired that way. It won't work. And, you know, I recently discovered this, that there's something called, like, a male stimulator. And it's just, like, a dildo with a good handle on it. That's just, like, 2 inches that a man is supposed to just plug up his butt and, I guess, hold there and wait. Or, I don't know, you move it around, maybe. But I don't care if they're mass-producing these things. Just because, oh, put this in, man, I'm going to mass produce these.
Boom. What are you doing? Ching, ching, ching,
ching, ching. They're just cranking them out. It doesn't work for me.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't need to know that.
I'm just saying. I feel bad. I also don't like coffee. people are always drinking coffee around me. The smell is nice, but the taste, I can't. And I'm like, God damn, I wish I enjoyed coffee. I wish I enjoyed a nice male stimulator. Oh, but it's a piece of life that I don't get, wow. You know?
Do you feel better now that that's off your chest?
I really do feel better.
Right.
I'm hunting, looking for a comer. You know, we want to try to give you a flavor of the towns we experience. We're trying to give you as many interviews as possible, but it's tough. You know, because there's a thing that a lot of people do that I've noticed is, you know, you ask them a question like, oh, how was Sweden, you know, the Alps? What was the weather like? Oh, I don't know. Why don't you just Google it? Well, weren't you just in this? Just Google it. You know what I mean? It's like people say that for everything now instead of giving you information. It's just like, you know what I use for my... I only store like 4 things in my brain. Google it. But you know, want to tell you the story.
I wouldn't Google that. I have no interest in what stimulates your prostate.
I'm not telling you. We're not talking about that anymore. What? I told you the whole experience. I didn't tell you. Hey, that's why I'm going into graphic detail. I don't want you to be like,
that's
hey.
That's okay, though. I wouldn't Google that.
Because some people get information from Google. Hey, your man prostate will make your, you know, is beautiful sexually.
Okay.
Not for me.
All right.
I'm not going to tell Austin, you to Google it.
I don't need to know. Austin was kind of lame.
It was all right. There was that
it
one
was
big,
okay.
That one breakfast place. This place is open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Magnolia's. Give them a shout out. That was a great place.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shops and stuff, and there's this movement like Keep Austin Weird. A lot of shirts that say Keep Austin Weird and stuff. They're trying to get you to support local businesses. I appreciate that. I think that's great. But there's only kind of like one street that's like a weird street with a bunch of, you know, local businesses.
It's like if you're not into shopping, there's really not that much else to do in Austin.
Well, there's a lot of bars, and there's a lot of nightclubs and stuff.
A lot of bars and restaurants. Yeah,
right.
Which is good. But then in between, like, I can't just be eating all day. Then what else is there? You know, you got to do something in between. Don't like shopping. Then what else is there to do?
Well, I mean, we didn't Google enough stuff beforehand. Maybe we should have
Googled it.
We really should have Googled it. We should have Yelped it.
Yep.
We should have bought our tickets on Ticketmaster. We kind of came in there a little unprepared, I think.
Yeah. Well, we tried to rent ATVs, but apparently they don't do that there.
We went to a city, Emily. I keep telling you that.
No, but there's hill country right outside, which everyone says is really beautiful. There's a lake. Then our waitress said that the lake is only about half full right now because of some drought or something.
Right. So, anyway, we definitely want to go on ATVs and bring you that report, so watch out for that. So we just kind of bopped around Austin. It is beautiful. There's a beautiful river going through it. That's nice, and a nice, you know, walkway and stuff. Capitol Hill, the most opulent building ever. The wood, like, normally you don't notice, like, wood paneling, that intricate, how carefully it was carved. But in there, like, every door is like a work of art, you know. It's like hand sculpted. What was your favorite part?
What? Of what?
Of
Capitol Hill. I pooped in it.
Yeah, you kind of made a mark there. You sent a message.
Yeah.
How were the bathrooms?
Pretty good.
Were they opulent?
Yeah. They had really nice blinds, like, all the way up the window to the very top, and each, like, panel was a separate piece, so I'm just wondering, how do they open and close those blinds up there?
Yeah, and they had, like, giant rooms of the Congress of Texas and stuff, and, like, beautiful, beautiful chairs. There was a lot of turnover, because there was recently elections, so a lot of, like, couches that were being moved, so you just look at like the best possible furniture, the best possible leather couches and stuff. Unbelievable.
Yep, that's where our tax dollars are going.
Yeah, so that fat guys in cigars can laugh and over lobbyist drinks and you know, yep, have an affair on a 200-year-old piece of leather furniture.
Yep. You're welcome, Texas.
Yeah, you're welcome. We took a shit in that place.
Yeah. I shit on your capital. I'm in this
not as good as Pecos, Texas, though.
God, stop reminding me of Pecos, Texas.
Pecos, Texas. If you ever drive by there, give that place a little hot steam out your window. You're driving by, you see, welcome to Pecos, Texas. Boom! Hot steam that shit.
I wouldn't even bother.
So
it already smells like shit. I hit the party
and they stop in the motherfucker. New Orleans. Emily and I are really excited to go to
New Orleans.
Excuse me. Yeah, if you go in there and say, I like New Orleans, they're going to go,
yeah, what's good in New Orleans? They're going to say, what?
They're going to say, what was that,
man? You mean New Orleans?
It's like they know the more legit people in there. You walk in, you'd be like, hey, you know, where can you just give a plug for your restaurant? Oh, this is Stacy's. We're in New Orleans. No, get the fuck out of that place. They don't know how to make some Creole. You go in there and you're like, hey, what do you make good here?
This is the best Creole in New Orleans.
Then you're like, God damn, this is going to be some good shit.
New Orleans. I want to wrestle a gator in New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yeah, we really want to meet a person in New Orleans who's like got big time crocodile and alligator issues. Just like, this is the ideal person I want to interview. Like, I've been shitting out a football alligator came by yesterday. Up no good. He was asking questions, putting it nowhere down below. I said,
Get out here, gator. So I told that gator, don't you be coming back here no more. My granddaddy told me about you gators. I ain't gonna be tricked by you gators.
I know your papa gator. I know your sister gator. And I saw your cousin gator come out here down by my house in New Orleans.
I live in New Orleans. I know about you gators.
A 1 gator, 2 gator, 3 gator, 4. No gator should knock on my door. Get out of here, gator.
Ever since that day, seen that gator across the street just eyeballing me. But he know better.
Gator just comes running towards him. Gator! Don't you be stealing my turnips.
I keep this young gator head on this pole. The warning. Yeah, the gators.
Yo, gator was under my porch here today. He messed with my plumbing. Now the hot water come out the cold water. The cold water come out the hot water. I say, you got it, get out of my porch. Turn my wall around. Now I almost burned myself taking a wash my hand the other day.
Did you burn yourself washing your hand?
Gator switched the plumbing around. Come take a look through my cellar. Gator comes near my door, I'm gonna lick a gator good. I'm gonna give him a real good licking. I'm gonna lick that gator. He wants to dance a two-step with me. Bam! Gonna lick that gator. I'm from New Orleans.
No,
I licked the gator so hard yesterday. I hit my right in the jaw. You know what came out of his butt? Hot steam. I hot steamed the gator. I'll lick a gator good. Come on, the gator. He's always starting trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He always starting trouble.
That's just like a gator.
One gator come by. He's trying to, sorry, gay guy, trying to show me I'm being a Jehovah's Witness. I said, get out here, gay. I don't believe in that shit. Now, witchcraft. Never trust a gator.
Never trust a gator.
Switch
gator, they be tricky.
The gator played tricks on you to try to hypnotize you with their gator power. Remember, I had a cousin, Shuji. Shuji's also from New Orleans. Now, Shuji came down about a week ago. She got hypnotized by Gator. She fell in love with Gator. Two more romance with Gator. It was Gator Chuck this, Gator Chuck that. I said, Shuji, you were hypnotized by Gator. I see you in your eyes. It's spinning Gator, spinning Gator, spinning around. You hypnotized by Gator.
What did Shuji say?
She said, oh, well, you never know what Gator Chuck did.
What did he do?
Well, I'm gonna have a little gator kid right now. I'm gonna lay a gator egg. That's what Susan said. I'm gonna lay a gator egg. Gator egg gonna come out of the sand.
She was in denial.
She didn't know she was hypnotized. I said, you gator hypnotized. I seen it.
This is weird.
driving by, there's just this sign with just a beaver face. No information. And it's this company called Buckbees. I saw a couple Buckbees out here. Now, it's just like...
Buckies, I think.
Buckies?
Buckies.
And it's just like... you said it's you can get gas there, a snack, take a poo, have a little
tents,
rest.
Camping equipment.
Tents and camping equipment. Yeah. But their fucking advertisement is just a beaver face in a cartoon with a circle. And then you really... And it's like, what... What the hell is the beaver face, you know? People are driving... These are interstates driving from out of town. They don't know what just beaver face means.
Apparently, the locals know exactly what beaver face means.
Beaver face? Oh, I'm going to get myself a damn.
What t-shirt that's just some ignorant bitch.
It's like your steering wheel.
It just crumbled where I put my hand.
It's like at the... What was that? The 11 o'clock to almost to the 9 o'clock position. It's just like all ripped up. And then I was trying to find out, like, why is it just worn out in that one area? Almost like a dog bit it or something or what? But no, when Emily's smoking, she has a cross arm. She has her right arm on 11. She's smoking with her left hand out the window. God damn!
I don't know. It just crumbled apart.
Yeah.
It's my smoking arm.
Yeah.
My smoking position. It's just what happened.
I thought that, you know, the shaman cured you of, we learned earlier, the shaman cured you because you met your spirit wolf, and your spirit wolf realizes that, oh, you're just disappointing your spirit wolf. What are you doing smoking cigarettes? That's what your spirit wolf says.
Alan made me want to quit smoking. Now I'm working on quitting smoking.
Okay, before you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I want to.
That's the first step.
Yeah. But I can't do it while I'm in the car with you for 8 hours a day.
I noticed you told me at the beginning of this trip, well, I'm only smoking a couple, maybe like 2 or 3 cigarettes a day. I'm cutting way back. And I said, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And then always after a podcast, particularly after, you know, I'm exposing to the world your shitting habits, how I'm drinking kombucha, you had a teaspoon of kombucha, you had to run in the bathroom and fart for 3 minutes. You don't like me getting up. But after those segments, you just start smoking, just chain smoking.
Well, it also keeps you from recording. Whenever the window's open.
Yeah, when the window's open, it's way too loud to record. So yeah. You're like, if I smoke, not only will it calm my nerves, but it'll shut them up for 2 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. It's a win-win for me. Twice. Double win.
Oh. Well, and we're still driving to Houston, so we always like to give you some news stories to kind of wrap this thing up. Make it a... We've been recording for, I don't know, 40 minutes now, but want to give you a nice full podcast. Here it goes. Man tried to fly to India with monkey in pants. I love stories like this. The suspect from United Arab Emirates, who was detained along with 200 other travelers, had arrived from the Thai capital of Bangkok and was about to make a connecting flight to Dubai on Jet Airways. Security personnel found the monkey in his underwear while frisking a transit passenger. He's getting frisked. Boom! I feel a monkey in here. And a fucking... What is it? I think a lemur? Wait. Oh, a lorry. The 17-centimeter lorry is a type of monkey native to India and Southeast Asia, seen by some blah blah blah. I can't read those words. They're big words. They also seized 6 Parisian cats, 3 poisonous tarantula spiders, and 11 bird eggs. And also 10 turtles in this one guy's underwear. They specifically say one guy had 10 turtles in his underwear. Jesus Christ!
All of these animals were in his underwear?
No. He had 2 accomplices. Okay, so let's figure it out. He had a lorry in his pants. Okay, another guy had 10 turtles in his underwear.
A different guy?
Yeah, okay, so there's 3 dudes. Okay. It's a one guy with the lorry in his pants and then 2 accomplices. So they had 10 turtles, 6 Persian cats, 3 poisonous tarantulas. God damn, those gotta be really dangerous to carry and, like, have them so they don't sting you and have it so they don't die in transit, you know? You can't put them in plastic. You gotta have somehow keep them. God damn, 10 of them.
You can put them upside down and tape them to your leg.
Oh, that's
so
a little...
they're facing out.
You're totally right.
They can't turn around.
We're giving you travel tips here. We're not just telling you to Google it. Tape the tarantulas upside down, tape their stinger down. And 11 bird eggs. God, jeez. Now, we're environmentalists. Now, not, this is a big problem because then you bring in species from, like, in... where was it?
They're just for pets.
Bangkok to Dubai. Yeah, it's just so for some rich billionaire to be like, this is extinct.
It's going to mess up the ecosystem because they're going to be indoors.
Sometimes they get out. You know, all those crocodiles, they get flushed down the toilet. Then they grow in sewers and stuff. And then there's crocodiles in the sewers in, like, New York City.
I don't think
that happens.
That's not true.
I know about gators. I'm from New Orleans. Don't you talk about gators? You mess with your plumbing. Getting
tricked by this. Pedophilia and child sacrifice. I always love to end on a positive note. Here we go. And this
Eric
news story.
Is obsessed with pedophilia.
I'm not obsessed with pedophilia. I want people to know what the Pope is up to, and Queen Elizabeth, and everyone at the top of the secret government. But this news article is interesting because as I was reading it before we recorded, it kind of takes a twist. So this is not your normal pedophilia and child sacrifice news story. This has a twist in it. Okay, so it kind of features a picture, and Pope Ratzinger and Queen Elizabeth are shaking hands. And they have a very specific handshake, and there's a scared little boy behind them. And here's the news story. So, because they met for some reason, in December of 2010. The hand of the Pope is over the hand of the Queen, signifying dominance. He holds her hands by the knuckles, which is a Freemasonic secret handshake, with the rule of canon law hand over the glove to seal the deal. There is a reason for the Queen addressing the United Nations and then meeting the Pope soon after. Let us explain. The Pope is at the epicenter of the largest pedophilia ring in the history of the universe. I like how he throws universe in there. He's been to other planets.
A very reputable
news source.
What?
I actually deleted the news sources because I wanted to print every news article on one piece of paper. So I don't have the sources. But if you Google the exact words I'm saying, you'll find the news. So you want this article? Google it. I'm going to read it now. Google these words and you'll find it. A ring that connects all the Knights of Malta, secret orders, and global secret societies, bloodlines, and incriminates millions of satanic worshippers around the globe. The Queen has been caught red-handed in blood sacrifices at least twice a year at the Balmoral Castle and connected, spelled Balmoral Castle, and connected directly with to ordering the death of Princess Diana. Lots of accusations in this article. HRH by birth is related to Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany, who was the blood uncle of Adolf Hitler, who incidentally was a Knight of Malta, along with Mussolini, Stalin, Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, George Bush Sr., and more. The bloodlines are important. Then it's probably ancient alien bloodline or whatever. This ring is almost complete, and there is only one small thing. Hundreds of thousands of victims, now old enough, and have no fear in coming forward and speaking out. Including this writer. You're asking where this news story is coming from. This guy was diddled by the Pope, watched by Queen Elizabeth.
He doesn't say that.
He does say that. To have no fear in coming forward and are speaking out, including this writer. Yet the Vatican and the Holy See are running around denying everything. Money laundering, committing genocide, and all the business as usual. Berlusconi, who is openly states he talks to God through the Pope, loves underage whores and money laundering. He's fallen into an abyss of his sickness. Sarkozy is knee-deep in fraud. Obama and Cameron are in over their heads in illegal wars, fraud, and drug trafficking. God damn. Breaking it down.
This article is nonsense.
This article was written by a guy who says this writer. He's seen stuff.
Who is that? What is his name? Doesn't even say.
I actually didn't write that down. I deleted it to make sure that...
Who is this guy?
Google it. There's another picture here. I love how this article also includes, if you Google some of those phrases, you know, and put them in parentheses, so apostrophe, so you get the exact words. They also have a series of pictures of the Queen Elizabeth and the Pope. Like, there's one where they're sitting around a bunch of Irish school kids and they're all wearing kilts. The boys and the girls wearing the identical kind of uniform. The Pope looks happier than a pig in shit right now. Well, I think after that news story, we told you all about Austin. So, this has been another episode of the Highway Diaries. I've been your host, Eric Hollerbach, a.k.a. the Eagle, caw-caw!
And Emily Hollerbach, a.k.a. Tiger Bomb. Rawr.
See you next time. Oh, and we're about to see Crazy Fifi. And we may or may not be able to get any recordings of it, but that's what, next stop, Houston.
That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Episode 12, White Girl Drunk, Hot Steam, and Austin, Texas. I'm spoiling you guys. Anyway, Sunday, March 10th, 2013, at 7 p.m., got another show at Flappers in the Yoohoo Room. I'm fucking wrecking up those shows. For those of you who missed February 22nd, here's a little clip. Check out my stand-up.
What's up, kid? How old are you, man? 14. Just blowing on your soup? You're gonna hear some fucking pussy jokes in a minute, bro. Get fucking ready. Anyway. What's up? Tip your waitresses tonight, people. Just an extra dollar. You know, I've been looking into the salaries and all the waitresses' tax returns and stuff. You know that their salary here, their normal salary, doesn't pay for their pussy hair maintenance. It's true. You tip them. Everyone gives them an extra dollar. If you don't do this, next guy that goes down there is going to deal with fucking ingrown hairs. It's just a fucking mess down there. Do you want the next guy going down on your waitress, see a nice felt strip? Extra dollar, right in the margin. Pussy maintenance. And that's an extra dollar, black people, not just a dollar. All right? I know how you liberally interpret tipping shit. See, other cultures are weird with money. You know, I never realized how, like, the Chinese economy worked until I took a Chinatown bus. Anyone take a Chinatown bus somewhere? In New York, they're huge. It's like the Fung Wah bus. And you go anywhere for $10. You just say, like, Philadelphia, $10, get in, $10, leave it now. They just push you in a bus. It doesn't matter where you're going. Boston, that's 4 hours away. $10, leave it now. They push you in a bus. It's cheap. It's a good rate. They might throw a crate of 50 endangered turtles on your lap that you have to smuggle. When you get to Boston, give this to Gogo. Yeah, Gogo? Now I gotta find this asshole? It's worth it. It's a cheap fucking fare. When in Chinatown, don't heckle. This is way funnier than what you're saying. Trust me. But I went down to fuck with them, though. I was like, seeing if I could get somewhere that isn't normally accessible by a bus, you know? So I go, hey, man, can I get to Puerto Rico? He just starts pushing me. I had 10 on my hand. He's like, $10, leave it now. And all of a sudden, a cage comes up with a mongoose, just punched me in the face. I got knocked out, woke up in fucking Puerto Rico. Yeah, I didn't have pants or money or nothing, but I fucking got there. I think the guy from the bus station was just like, $10, leave it now, just in a kayak, just took me the whole fucking way.